Before we begin today, I would like to pray and ask God to be with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful words that you've given us through your special gift of scriptures through mankind, that we can learn more and understand the love you have for us. And we pray that your Spirit will lead us like you led men of the past to a closer walk with you, that we can be a light for others to see you, and that your Spirit will lead us, Lord, in our actions and our thoughts, that our words will give you honor, praise, and glory. And I pray that your blessing be with me today and be with those here, that we continue to serve you and honor you and prepare our hearts and minds for your soon return. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Brother John asks people to do a sermon, I kind of hold my breath and bite my tongue. But this topic's been on my heart, and I hope it touches somebody here today. But if you're the type of person who likes to read product manuals, you're in the minority, as probably all of us are. Only about 25% of the people actually take time to read them. And men will read the majority of them. The majority of people will learn from the mistakes of taking the time in reading these product manuals. And one reason, some of them are poorly written. Another reason is, like, users like me are impatient. As a result, most people don't use all the features of a product. But if you turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, it was in our children's story this morning. In chapter 1 of Joshua, verse 5, after Moses died, God called Joshua to lead God's people into the promised land. The Lord promised that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. But the promise had a condition. If you look at verse 8, it says, the Lord wanted him to do all that is written in this words that he gave on his book of the law. And when these conditions are met, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Life today is too short not to read God's manual, the Bible. In the warfare we experience on earth, you'll only be prepared to stand against the enemy by studying God's word. It's part of our daily armor. In Ephesians 6, verse 17, it describes our only offensive weapon against Satan's attacks. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When Jesus was led up to be tempted by Satan in Matthew 4, after 40 days of fasting, Christ responded to Satan's attempt to make him sin and fail in his mission with three simple words: it is written. Three times to combat his attacks. And if Christ needed to use scripture to defend himself, we need to equip ourselves even more. Why the Bible? Well, for starters, it's our manual, our handbook, for us to live by the instructions of our Creator and Lord. Secondly, it's a history of the world that we can learn how those who lived with God's word and those who didn't live by his direction. The largest effect of Bible reading in the life of a Christian was a study done by 2,000 people by the Institute of Biblical Research. They found if someone read the Bible one day a week, it didn't have much of an impact on the life of that individual. They found if someone read the Bible 2 to 3 times a week, it had a slightly higher impact. But when they found that someone read the Bible 4 to 5 times a week, everything began to change. They found that 42% were more likely to share their faith. 76% were more likely to memorize scripture. 59% less likely to view pornography. 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. And 50% less likely to experience anxiety. The Bible has been called the greatest book in the world. It is at the same time the most read and the most loved book of all time. But it also is the most hated and the most ridiculed book of all time. The Bible was written by about 40 men on three different continents in three different languages over a period of 1,600 years. Some of these men were kings, some were captives, some were prophets, some were scribes, some were doctors, some were shepherds, some were scholars, and some were fishermen. They were from all walks of life. Yet when one puts their writing together, we have one book. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 66 books in all. Yet when one puts them together, it is one book. No single book in the Bible is complete without the whole, and the whole is incomplete without every single book. Together, it has a theme, a plot, a conflict, a climax, and a conclusion. It is the longest thread of thought woven in the fabric of history. These men wrote on some of the most controversial subjects in the world, yet all their writings harmonize. There's not one clash or contradiction in all they have to say. Unity, harmony, accuracy, and fulfilled prophecy of the Bible are but four reasons it is impossible for this book to have originated with men alone. There is no other book like this. This is a book from God. Yet the greatest proof of the message that it brings, here God reveals to man which he cannot know through his own wisdom. When you read the Bible as a whole, recorded all those years by so many different men, written under so many different conditions, you will find that it reveals one story and follows one theme. It bears the mark of one author, God. If you turn to our scripture reading found in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. And it reads, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." What does God breathed mean? In original Greek, it means God's breath. It means that its source is God. It was not the author that came up with the content, but God. Unlike Shakespeare or any other author today, it does not have a human source. It comes from God. And if you turn to 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Paul goes on to say that the Bible is not only true, it is also trustworthy. That means that we can trust the message it communicates to us. Why is this statement so important for us? That it means that God is the source of Scripture, all of Scripture, and because of that, the foundation of our faith is absolutely trustworthy. The English word Bible comes from the Greek word biblion, meaning book or roll, which itself derives from biblos, the name from the papyrus plant used in ancient writing materials. The Bible is referred by several terms in Greek, biblia, and the word scripture in Greek, graphe, describing various words for God's law, such as words, statutes, and precepts. Both Bible and Scripture are used to describe God's Word. A common Christian definition for Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. I'd like to refer it as God's love story for mankind. His story. The book tells us who we are, where we came from, why we're here, and where we are going. Here God reveals to us that he is our creator, he is our ruler, and that he will be our judge. He shows us his favor and his wrath, his power and his patience, his judgment and his mercy. This is the greatest story ever told, the wonderful story of love. You will see as you come to the knowledge of its contents that no man could write a book like this. What is the most important part of the Bible? Whatever part leads you into a relationship with God. That is what the Bible's for. It is not to amaze us with scientific accuracy or impress us with historical integrity, but to lead us to a personal knowledge of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In the book Great Controversy, it states, "None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict." An interesting fact that I learned many years ago about the Bible, Psalms 118 is in the middle of the Bible. There are 594 chapters before it and 594 chapters after it, with Psalms 117 being the shortest chapter of the Bible and Psalms 119 being the longest chapter of the Bible. And if you add 594 and 594 together, you get 1188. And that would read Psalms 118 verse 8. And Psalms 118 verse 8 reads, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." We the people of God are directed to the scriptures as a safeguard against the influence of false teachers and the delusive powers of spirits of darkness. This morning, I'd like to share something I learned about studying the Bible over 20 years ago. This is Bible 101. It made me understand the Bible more clearly and was able to share doctrinal truth based on scriptures only. Bible marking and cross-referencing can make your Bible more personable and easier to share God's word. Taking time to study God's word rather than just reading it can bring it alive. Bible marking helps to understand it better. It causes you to stop and see things you haven't seen before and helps you reflect on how the Bible relates to you today. Most all of us have their own Bible. Some of you already have it marked up the way you desire. Some have a Bible and thinking that marking in it seems sacrilegious. But I believe a Bible is a tool used for us to be able to share God's word and to be ready in season to share a topic with someone that you have an opportunity with. I believe that actively Bible marking in your Bible helps you engage in more thoughtful Bible study. First, I'd like to talk about Bible marking. I'd like to dissect three different colors and categories that make up the system I use to mark up my Bible. I'd like to have the deacons, I brought some yellow highlighters this morning, and I'm not sure where they are at. But when I first started studying the Word, I used Bible highlighters, the standard ones you get at the office supply store. You start marking in your Bible, and you turn the page, and it's marked on the same page, on the back page. But these Bible highlighters, they're gel-coated. They won't bleed through the pages, and they're easier to use. These are for you guys if you like them. If you have another system, fine, but they're available, and I wanted to share those with you today. I prefer using these markers that are Bible-friendly, that don't bleed through the pages. And if I need to write in the margins of the Bible, I use a mechanical pencil, mainly to erase any errors that I put in there. First of all, I would like to remind everyone that before you open God's word, pray and ask God's Spirit to be with you, to give you understanding of his truth. The three colors I prefer using in scripture and to marking my Bible are yellow, blue, and red. Yellow is for verses that are informative to me, verses I notice to stand out for me in that chapter. And this is the color I use most in my Bible. The color blue I use to highlight God's promises, the ones that stand out and are personable to me. Red I use to highlight verses that are God's cautions and warnings for me. Some people will just use red, some people just use yellow, whatever topic. It's up to you guys how you guys want to mark your Bibles. But you can choose whatever color scheme that makes sense. But after I mark a certain passage in the Bible and come back to that chapter, it seems to have a deeper meaning for me. It helps me to remember what I learned previously in that chapter. You can use other colors to categorize other topics in the Bible, like verses that don't make sense or have questions about, or have repetitions, or prophecies of Christ's first coming and Jesus' miracles, and so on. Next, I'd like to talk about Bible cross-referencing. It's like using maps illustrating how different parts of the Bible interconnect, linking related verses to a specific topic. Parallel cross-referencing link texts that compare similar stories or share similar ideas, like the feeding of the 5,000 in both Luke and Mark. Topical cross-referencing connects verses surrounding a common theme, such as love, found in 1 Corinthians, John, and 1 John. Old Testament to New Testament cross-referencing highlight how prophecies or passages point forward to the fulfillment in the New Testament, like Isaiah's prophecies about Jesus. Using cross-referencing helps in comparing stories, tracing themes, and get deeper understanding on God's truth and how it's all interconnected. Bible cross-referencing in your own Bibles, usually found in your margins, is where you can look up verses and compare similar meanings or phrases that one passage is referencing to another. It's like a passage where Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, and it is referencing in that passage in the Old Testament what he is referring to. When I first began studying the Bible and learning about the truths in his word, I received a handout about what the Seventh-day Adventists believe. It mentioned a topic like the entire Bible is God's inspired word. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The second coming of Christ, we are saved by grace, baptism, and so on. And listed multiple verses backing up the truth of that subject. Then sometime later, I went to a Vesper service where the speaker was discussing a topical referencing system that connects a certain topic with verses that support its truth by listing the supportive verse in a categorical form. In your bulletins this morning, I listed 8 topics of references of a specific topic with verses that support that topic itself underneath it. Dawn refers this as doctrinal pathways, where you take a topic like the second coming of Christ and pick the most important verse that you can recall and mark that verse with the second verse to support it on the same page, and so on. So when you need to equip yourself to share the knowledge of Scripture on a specific topic, you can be more confident. Let's take a moment to review this. On that bulletin, on that sheet I handed out on the second coming of Christ, I marked this as SC, referring to second coming, SC1, and I marked that as 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 16. I marked that as SC1, and then right below that, on that same page, I marked SC2, with the verse that follows that, and it's John 14, 1 through 3. I mark this SC2, and I mark it on the next one going repetitious on SC3 and on down. It's very simple. I know most of you guys have done this before, but I found that very informative. And I'd like to add a correction. On the second coming, that third verse where it says Acts 1:7, it's Acts 1:11, if anybody wants to make that correction. Cross-referencing and our connections between different passages, it's like the Bible interpreting it itself. It reveals how the unity of Scripture works together, showing how the Old and the New Testament work together as one story. How the prophets, Christ, his disciples, and Paul each give explanations, not only on their own eyewitness accounts, but what God has revealed to them in their own lives to share the gospel message. Mastering these systems enriches Bible study making interpretation of his word clear to understand and easier to share God's word. It makes you more confident. At least it made me more confident. The psalmist says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. We say before we read our Bible, I hold God's word in my hands. It encourages, corrects, and instructs me. If you turn with me to Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is active, alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Paul had been taught that the scriptures which are able to make us wise unto salvation. He learned the good news that God had sent his son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. This is the greatest truth we can share with anyone. That is the central message of this book. It tells us how to be saved. No other book communicates this message except the Bible. In this book, we have the good news, the gospel, that salvation is found in Christ alone. He loves us. He died for us. He took God's judgment for our sins upon himself, and he rose again from the dead, proving that he alone has the power to forgive every one of our sins. The Bible teaches. It tells us how God wants us to live life to the fullest. It gives us instruction. After learning about marking the Bible and cross-referencing, someone gave me the book called The Marked Bible. It's a story about a boy named Harold who rebelled from his mother's teaching and decided to leave and set out for sea. Before leaving, his mother purchased a new Bible and quickly marked precious truths and promises. She hid it in his sailor's chest before he left home. When days passed on board, he glanced through it and threw it overboard. But through many dangers and harsh seas and a fire on board, he found that God and his word had followed him. On leave before his next sail, he passed a bookstore and found a Bible that had similar markings that his mother had marked. The bookstore owner saw the interest in Harold as he flipped through its pages and decided to give it to him. During time at sea, Harold and the captain of the ship spent time studying together, and he became known as a boy with the marked Bible. Soon after, he met a pastor on board on his way to a missionary trip, and he revealed forgotten truths from the Bible's pages. It turned many passengers to seek truth from the Holy Scriptures and turn to God. Today, I'd like to ask, where are you making your mark? Or each day when we wake up. Most of us get out of bed, grab our iPhones, our iPads, computers, or turn on the TV to catch up with the world. We all, myself included, should put our mark on God's word before we start our day. The church has a mission, as stated in Matthew 28, of teaching all men about our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring others into a saving faith through baptism and a continued faith in Christ. We are the church. We are losing time. The world has our attention. We need to reevaluate or reset our priorities. When those who are eager and ready to learn and observe all that we understand, God gives us a promise. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This good news is worth sharing. We all need to be witnesses and be ready to share his word with others. Not only to witness how we live, talk, and act, but be ready to share your own personal testimony, how Christ changed your life. Some can argue with you about the authenticity of the Bible, creation, stories, and promises of Scripture, but no one can debate or take away how Christ has changed our lives and how he is leading us today. In 1 Peter 3:15, if you would like to turn there, it says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks to give an account for the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect. We have a commission to perform and do our part. Let us sharpen our swords, spend time in our manuals daily, and ask the power of the Holy Spirit to give us a willingness to share his story, his love, his truths, his mercy and grace to represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.